Hello, my name is Dean Gocher. I'm founder and director of the Institution for Authority Research. I encourage you to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Then He's the one who directs your paths. That's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And this program is about a process that I call diaprax. It's simply the practicing of leaning to your own understanding. It's practicing Genesis 3, 1 through 6. If you want to understand Hegel and all the philosophy of the world, vain philosophy as the scripture calls it, it's Genesis 3, 1 through 6. The moment we move away from faith in God, accepting his word as is and living according to it, that's our option. That's our choice. It's to go in the route of justification. What makes sense to us, what seems to be reasonable to us. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth to be right unto man, but the end thereof is death. Paul talks about the body of death, and it is the law of the flesh. And so when the woman chose in the direction of self-justification, she moved away from God being the justification, God being the authority and the author of truth. Truth now lie within human reasoning. Now, as I finished the last program, I was quoting from Norman O'Brown's book, Life Against Death. This is one of the two books which were the Bibles of the 60s, Herbert Marcuse's book, Eros and Civilization, being the other one. Both of these books dealt with the merging of Sigmund Freud and Karl Marx, social psychology or transformational Marxism. And I was looking at this quote by Norman O'Brown. The new guilt complex appears to be historically connected with the rise of patriarchal religion. And then he puts in brackets, for the Western development, the Hebrews are decisive. And what he's talking about here is the patriarchal home. And he will reinforce this later in his book. Continuing, Norman O'Brown writes, the repression of normal adult sexuality. Remember, as last program I was talking about how Sigmund Freud considered all children sexually active. I mean, today, you know, Child Protective Services is supposed to protect the children from abuse. But Child Protective Services, built on psychology, cannot move outside of the premise that children are sexually active. And what that means is they're not involved in the act of procreation. According to Sigmund Freud, it's the senses, the touch and taste and sight and smell and sound, all those sensuous experiences that go along with sexual activity. Because Freud considered procreation, or the completion of the sexual act, as castration. And therefore, it stopped, for particularly with men, it stopped the sensuous relationship factor of sexual relationship. So the agenda was to identify what all men have in common, this desire for relationship with whatever it is in the environment that stimulates pleasure. And he considered the sexual act the highest pleasure of all. Sex was not for procreation, although that could be a part of it. It was for pleasure. And he turned it upside down. He reversed what God said, because man is to replenish the earth. And the pleasure is a byproduct. And he made pleasure the agenda. So he says the repression of normal adult sexuality is required only by cultures which are based on patriarchal domination. And so already we understand that it's that traditional top-down system in regards to the child's life, the child's eros life, his desire to touch, taste, sight, smell, sound, whatever it is in the environment that gives him pleasure. It's the patriarch that comes in and says, no, that's not right. And then Norman O'Brown says, human consciousness, remember by the statement when I began this series on Norman O'Brown, Life Against Death, he said, by dialectical, I mean an activity of consciousness. So he's going to define that consciousness. Human consciousness can be liberated from parental, and he puts in brackets, the Oedipal complex, only by being liberated from its cultural derivatives, the paternalistic state and the patriarchal God. Now, the paternalistic state is the state that encourages or in really in the best sense of it, it allows the home to be the foundation of the development of the conscience. And so human consciousness, it can only take place when that state, or the paternalistic state, or the patriarchal God is removed. Now, I've shared this in prior programs that Freud, and this is pointed out in Herbert Marcuse's book, and we'll deal with this later in Eros and Civilization, his story of Sigmund Freud, how Sigmund Freud interpreted the world, interpreted history. And he saw a neurosis of culture, a neurosis of civilization, and he couldn't resolve this neurosis. And it all began because there was a patriarch, there was a father. And a primal horde, as Europeans would put it, it's a primitive tribe, more of our culture. But what it was a father figure and his wife who have children, and the children and his wife are having a sensual relationship, the mother of the children enjoying their presence, and the children enjoying the mother's presence, but they're behaving in a way that the father calls polymorphously perverse. It's a sensuous relationship. And so the father sets down rules. Well, the children refuse to accept the rules. They're following their human nature. To the humanist would be normal, and the polymorphously perverse behavior wouldn't be what Freud would say the children's behavior was. It's just how the father interpreted their behavior, and he drives these children out. They do what I call the famous tennis court oath. They come to a consensus to come back and kill the father. They conspire against the father, and it's called patricide. You cannot have psychology without patricide. Just the very event of coming together and asking how you feel and what you think in regards to a father's command is to attack the office of the father and the father's command. This is what children do. You know, the dad gives them a command and then they go to their room and they talk about it. That's rebellion. Now, with dad and mom, with the parents, there could be a problem. You know, dad and mom aren't perfect. They might actually be saying things and giving commands that are wrong. But God is not. And so children are to obey their parents, but there's a clause in Scripture, in the Lord. And so there's a highest authority. And so when these children come back and kill the father, they don't only kill him, they eat him. And according to Freud, that the purpose for that is annihilation. You've got to destroy the top-down system. You got to remove it from the mind. You got to remove it from history. And so when the socialists talk about history, it is more not of, you know, from way back in the past, because see, Freud is already rewriting history, not looking at the scriptures, so that he can get rid of the patriarch. He has to have a scenario where the patriarchal father loses his importance and his significance and his value. He becomes literally irrelevant to social time. And so then they realize, after they kill the father and annihilate him, that, wait a minute, we do need rules. If we don't have rules, no work gets done. Now, dad did protect us, and he fed us. He put a roof over our head, and he you know, kept the natives from attacking us and the animals and everything else. And he did love us, so we did get some love from him. So maybe these rules are a good thing. And what results from that is the Oedipus complex. In other words, there's a parental structure that's restored, not in the old patriarchal form, but in a neurotic patriarchal form. And therein, we have those who are in office over the mother, and those who are under the office that want to relate with a mother. And rules then set by the highest order, those who have, are established. Now, the mother can be Mother Earth. It can be property. It can be the land. And those who are in high office then, who are above, set rules on those who are below in the relationship to the environment. And so they then produce neurosis. And that was what Freud considered as the neurosis of civilization. And he didn't know how to resolve it, because if you don't have rules, you can't have workers. And if nobody works, then there's no protection. You know, to serve and protect is gone. And so all he saw was this Oedipus complex. And he said it can only be liberated from a cultural derivatives, and it can only be liberated when you get rid of the paternalistic state, the state that protects the family and the patriarchal God. other words, that's why, do you understand, this is why the Ten Commandments had to be removed from the public schoolhouse walls. Because humanist consciousness cannot be liberated from this top-down system, from a, get this, constitutional republic form of government. A limited form of government. Why was our government limited? Why were the checks and balances put between the executive and legislative and judicial? Not only in the national, but in the state and in the county and the township. It was that those three departments, those three offices, were all collectively put together in the home. And it's there that the conscience was developed. It was there that right and wrong through chastening was developed. And it's a history, the lessons of history is that socialism and globalism and communism and, democratic ethics is you've got to destroy the home. And therein, you then bring all the branches together. And this is what the departments are all about. All the departments that are under the president, in the office of the president, all the cabinets, the legislators, even the judicial. All these departments come together and they all now are common. They all interconnect. And then this is the Politburo system. It's a network system of the departments interconnecting the different branches of government. So you might vote for a representative to represent your position, but he is helpless because he gives power to these departments that then help set policy. They have the money and they have the power to oppress the citizens if they don't function in the light of the dialectical process, because they practice consensus, diverse group, dialogue and consensus, social issues, facilitated meeting, and they therefore praxis a Soviet system. This is why in the Soviet system, in communist Russia, you could not come in with a patriarchal paradigm, a right and wrong way of thinking, this is my land and not your land, and climb the ladder in politics or in any influence in society. Because your responsibility was to the village. And so this idea that it takes a village to raise a child is a socialist concept. But by the way, it's not the village to raise the child. It is the village to raise the parents, to change the parents' behavior towards their children. No longer chasing the child, but dialogue with them. Do what Satan did with Eve. No longer do what Jesus did with Satan. Because Jesus taught and preached. It is written, it is written, it is written. These are the conditions. Doesn't matter how you feel or what you think. And Satan got Eve to get into how she felt and then what she thought. And so human consciousness, humanism, cannot be liberated from a limiting form of government, a top-down system, until it can get rid of the paternalistic state and the patriarchal God. That's what psychology and sociology both have in common, Marx and Freud. Norman Brown then says, the ability to promise involves a loss of the natural animal forgetfulness of the past, which is the precondition for healthy living in the present. Notice all the health care programs going on. To be healthy, you've got to get rid of promises. Because, see, you make a promise to your parent that you will, fulfill this or fulfill that, that might actually be causing division in human relationship. In other words, you keep a promise to keep the land under the family. And then the town council says, well, we need to put an easement on your property. And you go, well, wait a minute, you put an easement on my property, then you have control. You can put anything you want on that easement. And therein, I don't have my property anymore. So I'm going to keep my promise with my parents. Well, then the town council, because they have this dream of the healthy social society, they do eminent domain. And they take your property away. Because promises are the problem. Because animals don't keep promises. So if we have an animal nature and any forgetfulness of the past, and we just focus on the present, now this is not forgiveness. See, with God, we are to forgive one another. But when it comes to wrong, then wrong is wrong. And even though you might forgive somebody personally, the laws of the land is you broke the law. If it's a contract that has been set up by council or by men. And therein, there is either mercy or justice. If the citizens make the law, then you're bound to law. And so socialism understands this. The capitalists, those who are property-oriented, have lost this concept. There are still some who do fight for property rights. And they understand today, by the way, they're doing premise. They're going to the ranchers and saying, okay, now we want to number the animals. And some might like that, and because, you know, it's sort of handy, and you can keep track of your animals and find out what the market's doing and all that. But others say, well, no, we don't want our animals numbered, because that leads to the numbering of men. And then the trickery is the government will say, well, we're going to call this a contract between you and the ag department on dealing with premise. Well, wait a minute. A premise is a contract between you and a renter. And therein, all of a sudden, if premise becomes the word instead of property, you lose your property. In other words, the government can come in and tell you how and what you can do on your own property. And you lose control of your property just simply through the use of the word premise. This is the trickery, folks, that our whole society is bound in today. Abraham Maslow talked about fusion words. And the whole agenda was to find words that would seem to mean what you think they mean, but in reality mean something totally different. And the logical outgrowth of those ambiguous words, those doublespeak words, is that if you embrace them, whatever outcome happens, in other words, you end up losing your property. The logical outgrowth was you don't have a right to go to court because you signed a nebulous, ambiguous document. And so if you, for the sake of getting something from the government, sign this contract that says premise, you're now just as equal as the renter on the land, and the government has control over it. This is the evilness, folks. That is evil. That is diabolical. And so it all goes to destruction of promise. Well, God is a God of promise. See, if we get rid of promises, we'll have world peace. That's this mindset. That's a dialectical mindset. And then Norman O'Brien writes, if there is universal neurosis, now this is in your face, it is reasonable to suppose that its core is religion. See, this is not some nebulous little piece of information. Now, why am I focusing on Sigmund Freud and Karl Marx? Every teacher in your community is trained to use curriculum in the classroom. Curriculum is the procedure you use to teach the next generation how to think. And that curriculum with Bloom's taxonomy is towards inductive. You know, you start with knowing, I'll just give you the traditional definition, because the transformational is all confusion, because they can't function without chaos and confusion and crisis. Well, the traditional knowing is you've been told, you know, you can't go out. The comprehension is the parent looks you in the eye and say, do you understand what I just said? It's like the teacher saying, okay, you have an assignment. Do you understand what I just gave you? In other words, if you don't do your homework, you're going to be chastened. That's the understanding. You better do what I tell you to do. Now, the application might be you didn't do your homework. Might be you decided to go out. Whatever it is, you're told not to do, you did. Or you're told to do, you didn't do. And then the analysis is, as you're being chastened, you now know how important it is to know. We used to teach knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you refuse to recognize me and my law. How do you recognize God's law? How do you recognize the teacher's law? How do you recognize the parent's law? They're not only the author of the law, they're the authority. They can chasten you. Now, Bloom goes to synthesis. Synthesis means, you know, I have a hard time not getting a little loud on this. But people don't understand. Synthesis means your child must. I don't know how many times I can say must disobey the parent. The child must practice sin. You must. You can't get around it. You must practice sin. And then the evaluation is, did you do the process? And that's the grading system of Bloom's taxonomy. Now, religion is that which is sacred, and sacred is that which you cannot question. But in Bloom's taxonomy, the only way to get around universal neurosis, the voice of God, the voice of the restraint of the parent, the restraint of the citizens upon government, is to circumvent via dialogue. I get your child in the classroom, ask them how they feel and what they think in regards to restraints in their life, i.e. your commands as a parent. and get them to share in dialogue. Again, that's how you feel what you think. You just, for that moment in that child's life, you became irrelevant. The same procedure. Folks, this is a pattern. This is like 2 plus 2 equals 4. This is E is MC squared. This is the Manhattan Project on the destruction, the annihilation of the patriarchal paradigm. They take your representative and I put them in a subcommittee and I get them to share how they feel in regards to, you know, well, you know, your constituents aren't here. You know, we're not going to talk about your platform just for the sake of the party. Let's just share today how you feel and what you think personally in regards to these standards that, you know, we've got to solve this social problem. Kenneth Benet in Human Relations and Curriculum Change writes in that book, he says, we have to create a society who see those with non-influenceable private convictions. In other words, we can't manipulate them. These people with principles. He said, we have to create a culture who see these people in joint deliberation, who are willing to stand and die for a cause as a vice. See, as the enemy of the state. We must therefore create a culture who sees this patriarchal paradigm. The husband rules, desire of the heart of the wife is to her husband, and children obey their parent as in the Lord. That is now the enemy today. I keep saying this over and over. You have to understand that is the enemy. That's the only way the Antichrist can rule, because Jesus presented that paradigm. What my father says, that's what I do. He says in the temptations, it is written, dad says. And folks, this is so simple. It is so powerful. And you're just waiting for somebody to come in and ask you how you feel. You know, did your parents ever ask you how you felt when they told you to take the garbage out? Well, how do you feel about taking the garbage out? Well, what do you think about taking the garbage out? No, not in a traditional home. You're just told to take it out. Do what I tell you to do. But Freud, again, and psychology, again, considers that neurosis, because internally you have a dissatisfaction because you have the laws of the flesh, and they have just been superseded by a law above human nature, supernatural, see, laws. Then Norman O'Brien says, through the ability to promise a future is bound to the past. Now, this is trickery, because in the continuum of the dialectic, the above below two roads is negated. And so when you hold to the promises of God who is above, you're going to be treated as though you're holding to that which is of the past. You see it? It's the space-time continuum. This is relativism. And so in the classroom, everything is treated as the past. You come in with absolutes and you will be treated as though that's the way of thinking of the past. We're moving into the future. We're concerned about man. We're concerned about the better life. We're not tied to the past. We're looking to the future, our potential, use of imagination. And what that really is the broad path. There's a straight and narrow, and it doesn't change. How straight is straight and how narrow is narrow? It is God's way. You either trust in the Lord or you lean to your own understanding. You trust in the Lord with all your heart or you lean to your own understanding. Those are the two paths. But not dialectically. If you trust in the Lord with all your heart, you're stuck in the past. See, the trickery. You're just behind. You're dragging us down. You're a barnacle slowing down the ship of progress. Where did I get that quote? That quote was spoken at the head conference of the Assemblies of God. They considered the traditional patriarchal ministers as barnacles. You know, I have workbooks in the Assembly of God for the ministers to do the dialectical process. They'll have every scripture I use on one side of the page, and they'll have total quality management, general systems, and group dynamics, all the procedure that Satan used on Eve in the garden on the other side. And they mingle the two for the sake of the growth of the church. And I'm not picking on any denomination because they're all doing it, because it's now a promotion of the institutions of men in the name of Jesus. Then Norman O'Brien writes in his book, Life Against Death, it is what makes man responsible. It is his conscience. And he's talking about the promises. And he's not talking about this positively. He's saying it's negative. Psychoanalysis, he writes, must treat religion as a neurosis. So therefore, religion is in the way of America becoming a global society. Religion is in the way of you becoming a part of the village. Religion, and when you expect your children to obey you without question, that's a religious structure. And the whole agenda is to negate that structure. Again, Marx understood it. That traditional home, he called it the earthly home, the earthly home, which is God's secret. And to destroy God's top-down system, you have to destroy the family top-down system, the source, according to all of psychology. You can't have psychoanalysis without treating the patriarchal paradigm, the father who chastens his children, not because they did something wrong that would hurt them necessarily, but they did not obey the father. The father says, don't pick up the pencil, and the child picks up the pencil. Well, picking up the pencil would not have hurt the child. The child is hurt because the child disobeyed the parent. Today, that's child abuse, because the child was doing his natural inquiry into the environment, and the father prevented that natural inquiry into the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And you might say, well, in this case, it's not. That's not the issue. The issue is the child disobeyed the parents, and according to Freire, Paulo Freire, and the dialectical process, that is a violent crime. Parent produced a violent crime in that child's life. So now you can take these children out and expose them to the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life, homosexuality, pedophilia, bestiality, expose them to the abominable things of this world, and that's normal. But the parent who says, no, I'm going to put a hedge of protection around my family and keep them under a patriarchal paradigm, that, folks, is child abuse. That is psychology. There is no purpose for psychology other than to annihilate the traditional patriarchal home. And its root agenda is to remove the fear of God from the face of the earth. Well, we'll continue after these messages.